Last time on Why Can't We Be Wizards?
I'm so happy you're all here. Before we get started with our book, which you can thank me, I picked it out.
So, Leo, what's that book about?
Well, Tom Hanks does his thing.
My name is Felicity Frenzenopoulos, the fifth of her name, Princess of Frankenstein Bottom, lover of butterflies, and breaker of chains.
The Best Friends Book Club.
Best Friends Booketeers.
Lisa has book in
Best
the name.
Best Friends Booketeers.
You feel this like very strong, frustrated, angry emotion.
I don't know what you're doing, but it's hurting me.
Alan, I decided.
Alan? Okay, yeah. Across from her, you see Alan. And it's Allison, but he is... Alan has not left this room in many, many years.
I know I can't undo what I did. I would if I could. But you know I love you, Skylar, and I love all of you.
Skylar, are you okay?
Skylar!
Let's go to the hospital wing!
Dream last night, and what it was so Taylor Lautner and Ryle Reynolds were in a stagecoach together, and they were going to shoot like a spooky movie in a creepy forest, right? And so they're riding along, like horses included. And I sort of
wait, sorry, Ryan Reynolds, like the Deadpoolman,
yeah,
the Deadpool,
Taylor Lautner, like the
werewolf, the wolf guy
from the movie series I never watched,
Twilight, yes. The really jacked one. So they were in a stagecoach, like horses included. And I was like kind of the camera, like watching them in the back seat. And so they get on site, the creepy location, but there's nobody there, right? It's just the two of them. And so Taylor Lautner gets out of the stagecoach and is like, oh, this is a creepy place. And then Ryan Reynolds is just like, ha ha, let's go. And just like takes off with the stagecoach and just leaves poor Taylor just like in the middle of the creepy forest. And I found it super funny. And then Ryan Reynolds sounded super funny. They just like abandoned Taylor in the woods. And then scene cut.
What is happening?
I'm in a tree and I'm stuck in the tree. And then Taylor Lautner helps me out of said tree. Okay. And then this limo pulls up and this lady gives me a crutches. And she's like, you gave these to me as a gift, but I'm giving them back. And like, give me a pair of crutches.
Why?
That's it. Cutscene.
Wait. So, what? Your leg was broken at some point. Is what
no,
you're saying.
No. It was fine. Taylor Lautner helped me out of the tree.
Lauren, you know we've been recording this whole time, right?
Oh yeah, yeah.
What?
All right.
How did? I have so many questions.
This is all in the podcast.
I think that the best part is about how it was a very cinematic kind of dream. Like you described yourself as being the camera.
Scene cut.
I imagine that at the part where Ryan Reynolds was laughing, he did it to the camera, Deadpool style.
Yes, exactly. But like, I was not in the stagecoach because then I was in the tree. Like, I don't know. It was very.
You guys have both now said Ryland Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds.
I never said Ryland
you
Reynolds.
You totally just did.
I did.
Absolutely
the
not.
The recordings will tell.
The recording will answer that question later.
Yeah, it will.
And if it doesn't, I'll just edit myself into saying it correctly later.
Damn it. Don't abuse your power.
You know he does.
Oh, constantly.
Does anyone have any level ups or any relationship changes they want to make?
So I have a relationship change. I want to put another one in Skylar, bringing that to a +2 relationship with them. I also want to complete my puberty mechanic where I'm going to change my two negative traits, aloof and quiet, to critical and abrasive. Rough. I think Freya is kind of becoming judgmental towards certain people outside of her friend group.
Interesting.
Outside only?
I mean, I'm mostly referencing Felicity. Her interactions with Felicity were very...
You were very judgmental.
Abrasive, yeah. And
I feel
critical.
Like it was well-deserved.
Yes.
That's funny because I'm adding one to Felicity,
Felicity Francopoulos, fifth of her name, princess of Frankenstein, bottom lover of butterflies, breaker of chains. And I'm also going to add one to Allison. I was at one and now I'm at two. This is because Skylar feels like they kind of got a better sense of what Allison is struggling with. They didn't even know they were struggling with anything. So I think that that's gotten them closer to Allison and just wants to support her better.
That's great, because Allison was going to add a plus one to Skylar for helping with that sort of situation and sort of having insight into that. And I feel like Allison sort of maybe kind of remembered that Skylar might have some similar thoughts.
Caleb would love to get a plus one with Skylar, but they're already at two, so I don't think I'm going to change any of my relationships.
Leo would love a plus one with Skylar, but I think that's just not going to happen.
You're just hoping for a minus one at this point?
Yeah, we'll see.
Actually, Skylar is going to go from a negative two to a negative one because they were just in Leo's head and they can see that Leo's really struggling. And so they kind of have like an idea how to help Leo if he can't do it himself.
Allison, Freya, Caleb, Leo, you are all standing around a hospital bed in the hospital wing. And Skylar is currently lying there unconscious. It has been several hours at this point. And Madame Pomfrey has finally allowed you to come in and see how Skylar is doing.
Allison's going to pull out a chocolate bar and sort of like hold it out tentatively and be like, do you think we should like hold it under their nose? They might come to.
Caleb is super serious about this, really concerned, just has a intent look in his eye to check to see if Skylar is okay.
Yeah, Freya's really worried about them.
Skylar, you smell chocolate. And as a result, your eyes start to flutter open.
Yeah, Sky's gonna drag their torso up and maybe prop themselves on a pillow behind them. I feel like death.
But you're alive.
You guys, the craziest thing happened.
Was it the same thing that happened with Felicity?
Yeah.
Are you okay?
What does it feel like?
It feels suffocating. And it happened with all of you. Like, your emotions were seeping out of your bodies. And I focused on each of you guys and kind of got like a vision of how you're feeling, but in the form of like yourselves in like an alternate universe. And then I just talked to each of you guys and it got better, but it didn't when I got to Leo. It just got worse. And then I was in so much pain. I don't want that to happen again.
Kevin, are we aware of what Skylar did? Like, each of us had a conversation with them.
We don't have any memory of that, right?
You don't have explicit memories of the situations that Skylar is describing, but you have this sort of faint memory of remembering the feeling of Skylar being there and then your emotions changing as a result.
Did you guys feel any different in class?
I did. I felt more relieved and like you were there to help me.
Yeah, I mean, I still felt pretty confused, but maybe like one piece of the puzzle unlocked, but...
You guys, I'm seeing personal things of how you're feeling, like...
Leo is like staring at the floor and starting to tear up a little bit.
I don't want to be intrusive, but I did see things that you might not have shared with me otherwise. Things that were bothering you.
Well, you didn't mean to, right, Skylar?
No, of course. No, I didn't.
I mean, that's less of a violation as it is an accident, because really, it's just something that happens when your magic or whatever we all know that strange things happen in this world, and I can accept that, and I can accept you.
As you're all having this quiet conversation, trying not to disturb anyone else in the hospital wing, Madame Pomfrey notices that you're awake, Skylar. She walks up and lightly places the back of her hand on your forehead, nods, and says, here, please, take this. And she offers you a small cup with a potion in it. This is a relaxation solution. It won't really help to necessarily solve your problem. This is more about managing symptoms right now. You're very distressed. I think that it seems like you had some kind of panic attack. Rest and relaxation will do you good.
Are panic attacks hallucinatory?
What? I'm sorry. You had hallucinations?
Yeah, I take a swig of this potion. Yeah. I definitely saw myself in my friend's emotions that were basically scenes in their brains that I was in and I was talking to them. And sometimes there was two of them, you know? Is that panic attack?
I can't say that that sounds like a panic attack. I'm merely treating symptoms at the moment. I have vast medical knowledge, and that is not like anything I have ever heard of. How did you experience these? Did you actually see it through your eyes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was there. I pinched myself.
And you felt it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and to be honest,
and my friends even felt it too. Like they didn't experience the shared hallucination, but they felt the outcome of me talking to them in their emotions. So it's like, not just me.
I don't think it was a hallucination at all.
Am I cursed?
I don't know. I'm not sure, to be honest with you. And I don't want to scare really? You.
She could be cursed.
She just say no.
Some of us are already cursed.
Well, hey, if you don't want to have to leave the hospital wing, you will keep your voices down.
Allison snaps her jaw shut.
Now, Skylar,
mm-hmm.
I think this is slightly beyond my own medical expertise.
St. Mungo's?
Well, I would like to keep you for some observation for another day or so.
Okay.
If this flares up again, then possibly. But if it doesn't, I'd at least like to offer you maybe some kind of referral. Seeing things is not a common symptom. And certainly not one treated maybe even anywhere in the world by any known healer. So if it's all right with you, I'd like to ask you to go and talk to Professor D'Aresto, who has some experience with seeing things.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, great. Now just sit back, relax, take the next day or so to kind of just try to heal, okay? Everyone else, 5 minutes and then you're all gone. And with that, Madame Pomfrey totters away into her office.
I chug the rest of this potion. How do I feel?
You feel really floaty and relaxed.
Oh, this is nice. I just lean back more in my pillow.
And as you lean back and relax further, those faint outlines around everyone, they disappear and you can't see them anymore.
Nice.
Oh. Skylar, whatever this is, whatever this was, I'm sure it's going to be fine. It's going to be okay. And I hope you're okay, but it's okay if you're not okay. Do you know what I mean? It's okay to not be okay.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I'm okay right now. It's weird.
Well, we're here for you.
Yeah.
If it happens again, is it okay if I go back in your emotions and help you guys out more?
Yeah, I mean, if it helps you too.
As long as it doesn't do this to you again.
I think it only did this because I couldn't help someone.
I think it sounds like it'll be worse if you don't.
I couldn't help Leo.
Freya, stares at Leo.
It's not his fault. He's just working through stuff like I am.
Allison's also giving Leo, a side questioning eye, what's happening with you?
It is my fault, though. But we're gonna figure it out.
Well, you know, maybe I wouldn't like it if you went back in there. If you can try to resist going into my psyche, you know you can always ask me anything.
Yeah, yeah. I'll try with you. I just don't know how this is going to work. So just thought I'd ask while I'm still in the mortal realm.
Allison doesn't know how to respond and just pushes over the bar of chocolate.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Yeah. And just as you take a bite of that bar of chocolate, you hear a tap loudly on the nearby window. And you see a brown tawny owl kind of hovering and flapping its wings, waiting for you to open the window.
Allison opens the window and lets the owl in.
The owl lands, ruffles its feathers, and then sticks out its leg expectantly at Skylar. There is a letter attached, which is addressed to them.
Oh. Dear Skylar, I've been doing my best to keep tabs on your friend Freya's father. It seems like Ganon is doing his best to keep a low profile, or maybe he's just spending a lot of money on a really good cover. Either way, I haven't been able to dig up any real dirt on him so far, but not to worry. If it's there, it's a matter of time until I find it. Skylar pauses and looks at Freya.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
All right. Go back to reading. The latest polls were a little bit troubling, but I know the grassroots campaign is doing everything they can for Granger, so I'm still holding out hope. I look up again. What's grassroots?
Maybe something with nature?
Yeah, go back to reading. I hope all is well at Hogwarts. Third year is when I really started coming into my own. I hope you have the same experience. Yours, Janie.
The next day, Skylar was released from the hospital wing and felt largely better over the next week or so. Early that next week, Allison found herself heading into her very first band meeting. Well, so actually, let me ask this super dumb question before we go on. Was anybody else going to join band?
No. I've got other hobbies.
Cool. So as you enter the rehearsal space, it's really not anything special to look at. So you enter the Hogwarts Auditorium, which exists now. In the back, they've sort of built a few risers on top of a small makeshift stage. And all those risers are cluttered around a small podium. And most of the band, it seems, is already here. They're all mingling and chatting with one another. Some of them are holding their instrument cases. And it seems like Professor Fontaine has not arrived yet.
Alrighty. Do I see anyone else that's holding a ukulele?
No, nobody else is holding a ukulele.
Okay. Is there like a string section?
So there is a string section. So this band, like as you look at everybody's instruments, there's a bunch of just the weirdest assortment of musical instruments you've ever seen. There's someone getting set up behind a synthesizer, which is sitting next to a big full-size marimba. There's students with brass instruments. There's a string instrument section, mostly violas and violins. Somebody's holding a harmonica. There's even somebody who's got a drum set.
Do I recognize anybody?
Not very well. Like at this point, it's your third year at school. So like you've seen some of these faces in the halls, but you're not friends with anyone. Like there aren't any immediately obvious Ravenclaws that you would know. And so like, as you're kind of looking around, sort of trying to figure out what to do and starting to amble your way towards some of the other stringed instrument players, this very short guy runs over to you and throws their hand out for a handshake and says, hey there, I'm Benny.
Hi, Allison hesitantly takes the handshake. I'm Allison.
A very aggressive handshake in response. Oh, well, nice to meet you. I'm the stringed instrument section leader. So what brings you to band class? You joining up? I see you got something in there. What's in that case of yours?
Yeah, I've acquired a ukulele.
Oh, wow. Okay. We don't have one of those. And he looks around at some of the other string players and they're all kind of nodding along. Everybody seems very, very excited to have you here. You're getting pats on the back, some thumbs up. It's a very inclusive, positive atmosphere in this room right now. And Benny waves you over to an empty seat as everyone is starting to get set up and says, come on, sit down, come right next to me.
Great, yeah. Allison's just like trying not to be overwhelmed by all of the people and music and doesn't quite feel comfortable because she doesn't actually know music very well. She just happens to have an instrument that plays itself. Kinda.
At that, Benny says, so how long have you been playing?
Not long. I got this at the start of the year and been messing around with it a little bit, but...
Oh, so you're a beginner? What interested you in band?
Well, I think the wand chooses the wizard, and this really called to me, this ukulele. I kind of like tap the case.
Yeah, just tapping the case causes a little bit of that like holy glow to come upon the case for a second. And he says, oh, wow, that seems magical. Wow.
Yeah, Allison kind of tries to like pet the case so it stops glowing.
And yeah, every time you touch it, it's like a second of the light switching on and off.
Yeah, it's a legendary ukulele.
And the entire room is suddenly in hushed silence and they all turn to look at you. And before anyone has a chance to respond, Professor Fontaine enters the room and says, all right now, band, let's settle into our seats. Let's get started. And pulls out a baton and stands up at the podium and starts flipping through some music and then looks up, realizes that you're kind of just still awkwardly standing there and says, oh, right. Allison. Oh, everyone. This is Allison. Allison is going to be joining band class. Isn't that wonderful, students? And everyone's like, yeah. They're all cheering. Everyone's really excited to have you there. And they all start piling into their seats. The professor walks over and says, I know you don't have a lot of formal training. Here's some sheet music. And she takes a piece of paper and puts it on a stand in front of you. It is filled with symbols that you surely can only describe as gibberish.
Allison's just staring at all the lines and the dots and the letters and the tiny little font and acrylic and just being like, what are these? Italic. Font in italics.
Yeah. You, as you're staring at one particularly puzzling fortissimo, Professor Fontaine stands up at the podium, taps it twice with her baton and says, all right, let's take all of A through letter C.
Allison's going to rush to get her ukulele out of the case and just like hold it at the ready and stare at the sheet of paper that she can't read and can't really find A or F or whatever letter Fontaine just said. And just fake it till you make it.
The professor starts counting the band in and right on one, I want you to roll magic.
5. Plus 6.
Okay, so that's an 11.
I haven't added my magic. Plus 2 for magic. So it's a 13 on magic.
Okay, so with a 13, the most resonant, beautiful tone once again comes out of your ukulele. And somehow you are just playing every single one of those notes perfectly. It's almost like that paper in front of you has morphed into this sort of pseudo tablature that your brain is just able to comprehend in a very fundamental way. And somehow, despite having never read music before, you are playing that piece. And as the music starts to build and grow and hits this big apex, the tempo changes and it gets fast. And most of the band cuts out. And then suddenly you're playing this solo. And it is just, it's extremely long and technical. It's like, you know that scene in Back to the Future when the whole, like Marty McFly is playing with the whole band and then he starts to go off in this really crazy direction and everybody from like the 1950s is like, well, I've never heard rock and roll before, and they get really confused. That's basically what happens in this scene. Like, yeah. You just go off and like you go past what's written on the page to the point that you're just playing this like extremely verbose technical solo.
You know that sound you've been looking for? Well, listen to this.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. As you finally like you come up and you hit this like really high long note and you open your eyes, you realize that the band has stopped Everyone has stopped and everyone is staring at you.
That happens sometimes.
Benny leans over to you and he says, "Well, that was the most amazing thing I've ever heard in my entire life." And then the entire room just starts clapping and cheering for
this. This makes Allison really nervous, anxious, but like, yeah, I did a thing, but like, it's not, she didn't actually do it, but she did.
Amazing.
And Professor Fontaine says, "All right, we all got a load of the legendary ukulele. Now let's try that one again."
And now, a word from our wizard sponsors.
Don't have time for your daily chores? Try Hammer. Need that laundry done?
Laundry Hammer.
Throw that hammer in the washing machine and it's done in 30 minutes. Gotta denome that garden?
Garden Hammer.
Throw Hammer in your backyard and watch them go flying. Didn't have time to make dessert? I do all the time.
Dessert Hammer.
Throw Hammer in the oven and choose from tiramisu or baklava. How about knitting that sweater for the new baby your mermaid uncle just had?
Knitting's Hammer.
Hammer makes sweaters in 20 minutes with frills. Hammer will make your life easier in almost every way.
Hammer will not fix your interpersonal problems. Those still need to be resolved through communication. Please do not throw Hammer at your friends and family.
Buy Hammer today.
Buy Hammer today. All set? Okay, Mark Ruffalo, let's go golfing.
Hi, everyone. It's Kevin, your resident Potter nerd. You know what I love about this job? I love how it gives me a chance to rub shoulders with the Wizarding World's biggest celebrities. I actually just got done golfing with Mark Ruffalo and Thor, actual God of Thunder, after the rap party for Hammer the Musical, the movie, which, spoiler alert, is absolutely captivating. Anyway, if you ever get a chance to become a host for a Wizard radio program, I highly recommend it. Anyway, thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Why Can't We Be Wizards? As always, I want to thank all of you so much for listening to our goofy podcast about wizard nonsense. It means so much to us that y'all continue to tune in week after week, and I want to extend an incredible amount of gratitude for everything that you all do for us. So please continue to talk about the show online using the hashtag WhyNotWizards, replying on our Instagram and Twitter posts, hanging out and saying hi in the Discord, or even just dropping us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcasts. All that helped us so much to get the word out about the show, and you all are our only real way to help our audience grow. So thank you all so much. As always, I want to thank Table Story for inventing our awesome game system, Witchcraft and Wizardry. If you haven't checked it out yet, please, please do so. Okay, that's everything I have for you all this week. We will be back in 2 weeks for the conclusion of our Halloween Spooktacular on November 19th. And with that, let's get back to wizard stuff. On the day of Halloween, all of the third years found themselves standing in line, waiting to show mean old Galway their permission slips in order to go to Hogsmeade for the day.
Yeah, Skylar has a big parcel under their arm as well as their permission slip.
Caleb remembers when he got his permission slip signed by his truest guardian.
Crime House?
It was Crime House.
Allison is just hanging out, has her slip, and is like fidgeting with her hair.
Skylar, what is that parcel you have?
It's a portrait of Galloway looking serene with her cat feather bottom.
I see. I'm sure she'll love that.
I hope so.
So a few minutes go by and slowly but surely you make your way to the front of the line where Miel Galloway looks down at all of you and says, "Oh, hey, kids, how you doing?
Hey, good to see you. What are you dressed up as?"
No, this is Skylar. Just my regular clothes.
Skylar, we've been through this. Oh. No one does that.
Oh, right. Well, do you like my costume?
What is it?
I'm a queen bee.
Oh, I see. I get it. The wings and such.
Yeah, like all the stripes. And I have my royal crown.
Oh, you got a crown. That's cool. Personally, I don't get the bee thing, but it's cool. I'm glad that you're enjoying yourself.
Thanks. And this is for you. And I hand
Oh,
Galloway the portrait.
Oh my goodness! What is paper? What is this? Galloway slowly peels the paper apart, and it at first reveals the cat. And she says, "Oh my goodness! You painted my cat. You gave me a cat. He's so adorable." And the cat is not adorable at all. It's the ugliest cat you've ever seen in your life. But Meenal Galloway is just like, "Oh, this is a lovely cat. He moved over. Let me open the paint," and then reveals the rest of it to see the full portrait of themselves. And you just see like a single tear roll down Meenal Galloway's cheek. And she looks at you, Skylar, and she says, "This is literally the nicest thing anyone has ever done for me. I'm speechless. I wish I had something to give you."
Wow. Skylar is just wiggling with delight. Well, you deserve it.
Art really is magic.
Totally.
You know what? I don't even need to see your permission form. You go right ahead.
Okay. I'll move forward along in the line.
Allison's going to hold up her form that it has been signed by her father.
Well, thank you, Allison. Yep, that's definitely a form. And it definitely looks like it was signed by your parents. Here you go. You can keep going.
Thank you. Allison skips off.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Yeah, Meenal Galloway, still like beaming, just like glances at your form, Caleb, and says, "Yeah, looks legit. Keep going."
Nice.
Leo comes up and he pats one pocket and is like, "Oh, no." And then he pats another pocket and pulls the form out of it. "Oh, yes. All right. Wait, hang on." And then he pats a third pocket and pulls out a second copy of his form. And then he pats a fourth pocket and pulls out a third copy of the form. He's like, I didn't know which pocket I was going to remember to look in. And I knew that I was going to forget to put it in some of the pockets. So I made copies.
Oh,
I've got.
Okay, Leo, you know what? Here, do you have any other? She takes all of them. Do you have any other copies of this?
I don't think so. Wait, one more. And he pulls out one more and hands it.
Okay, I'm going to confiscate most of these. You keep this one.
Okay.
Don't ever copy this form again. That's not really allowed.
Well, it's just how I make sure that I remember it, because I don't know where I'm going to put it. Sometimes I just put it everywhere.
Okay, just, why don't you put it in your shoe? Just
what?
Put it in your shoe. That's what I always do. That's what I always say to people. You know, if you're not going to forget something, you put it in your shoe.
It's probably more sanitary than your pockets.
Then you know it's in your shoe.
What if I lose my shoe?
Don't lose your, why, how would you... Does he, she looks at the rest of the group like, does he lose his shoe often? Is that something we need to be concerned with?
Not on screen.
I wouldn't put it past him.
I mean, I know myself. I'm just going to say it might be more likely that I lose my shoe than I lose most other things.
Okay, well, you know what? If instead of the shoe, here. And she grabs the form back from you again. And she offers it to Skylar and says, "Can you just hold on to this for him?"
Sure. And I take the form and look at him.
Oh, no. It's the one person.
And as we walk away, I'm like, "Don't worry, I had another one."
Allison is just weirdly like skeptical of this whole thing. And just like, "What? Why? Okay.
This is what Mike does in real life with boarding passes at the airport.
How many of those pockets that you pulled the forms out of were filled with food?
Oh, the forms are probably covered in food, too.
Yeah, the one that I actually handed in had just had a bunch of bacon grease on it. And one of the secret ones I kept was just perfectly clean and fine.
Yeah, that sounds right.
That tracks.
Ah, breakfast pocket.
All right, that was my joke. What do you guys got?
Oh, yeah. I hand her my form.
Meenal Galloway takes out like a spiggle spyglass,
really?
And pulls it out, puts it up to their eye. "Hey, is this a counterfeit?
No.
Did you forge this?
No, my father signed it."
"Hey, you know what? We've had our differences in the past, so I don't trust you based on those differences from earlier."
Wait, that sentence usually goes in a different direction.
"Yeah, you're gonna have to give me some additional proof here."
Additional? What would you like me to...
Why don't you roll convince?
This is so bad. You have to convince that your parent wrote it.
Did Leo just blow Galloway's mind and convince them that, like, oh no, wait,
no,
people
it's
can
that
make copies?
Galloway hates Freya. It's fine. So I rolled a 7 plus 1.
So on a 7 to 9, choose one. They need proof. They go along with it for now. They do it, but are now terrified of you, or you bribe them.
Well, you could always send an owl to my father to make sure that this is accurate and just let me go for today.
Was that a threat? Are you threatening me?
No, I'm not threatening
you. I work here. You can't just threaten me.
That wasn't a threat. was just saying that you can confirm this.
In this case, I do feel threatened. I am afraid of my personal safety. I know your dad is, you know, a big deal or whatnot.
Oh, no.
You're afraid of me because of my father?
Well, I'm afraid of you because of the threat that you just offered to me.
I didn't threaten. I asked you to confirm this with my
parents. Well, now you're just parents. Now you're just being aggressive. I'm sorry. What? I don't.
Freya is, like, taken aback and, like, raises her arms and, like, steps away and is like, I'm not threatening you.
Okay, well, hold on. Just take a step back here. Like, you just, why don't you just move along? I don't want any trouble.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
All right, Freya, fine. Stop threatening Galloway.
I didn't threaten her.
There's no threatening going on. We just want to go get some candy.
You know, you slither claws. You just look threatening.
She just kind of like crumbles the paper, puts it in her pocket, and like runs away.
What was that about?
I don't know.
Was she's afraid of your dad or something?
Afraid of me because of my dad.
That doesn't seem fair.
I don't know.
But how could she be afraid of you? Look at you. You couldn't hurt a fly.
I mean,
you definitely could.
It's fine. She let me go. Let's not worry about it.
Okay, yeah. So all of you make your way down the winding stairs away from the castle and towards the train station and then the village of Hogsmeade. Today, on a bunch of the trees and as well as flyers all over the ground, there are a lot of advertisements.
Oh, no.
And you see, you kind of like, you see this one that sort of flutters through the wind. It just has a really simple sentence written on it. Want to be spooked?
Oh no.
Allison
oh,
is going to no. bend down and pick it up and say, want to be spooked? Is there anything no, else?
Is this what I think?
And that's it. That's all it says. But when you pick that up, you see like a pile of other flyers. One that just says like, scared. And then another one that just says, do you dream of what really goes bump in the night?
Oh my God, I do.
Yeah. And as you all look up past these flyers, as you start to get down into the corner that takes you down the path to the left towards the village of Hogsmeade, your eyes are actually assaulted by a garish orange and black billboard. And it says, the all-new grand reopening of Gerald McDonald's Horror Night of Horrors presents the Shrieking Shack Escape Room Adventure. We definitely don't have real Dementors this time. Hope you can escape.
This is what we get for improvising.
Yep. I was like, this is some carnival.
This is like coming back to haunt us from book one.
I heard about that. I heard they had real Dementors. I don't care what they say.
Oh, I heard there was a lawsuit on the radio.
I feel like they can't have real Dementors. There's no way.
I hope
that's
not
safe.
Real Dementors are scary.
Escape rooms are like puzzles, right?
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, it sounds super cool.
Sounds fun.
It sounds like the door riddles, but actually fun.
Oh, man. Do you think they have riddles?
I don't do too great with the door riddles.
I love the door riddles.
Yeah, it'll be just like that.
Wink. Bubbles, ha. Huh?
Oh, yeah. The answer is time, Leo, right?
Not anymore, I guess.
Wait, do you think we should do it?
You guys, with our powers combined, we can break through this escape room in less than a minute.
But I do want to get my hair cut first, though, so I look like really cool for the escape room, you know?
Oh, yeah, but then we should bet on how fast we can get through it. I have. Skylar pulls out of their pocket. I have 3 Snickers.
What are you betting, though? Are you betting you can eat those Snickers bars? Because I'm not taking that bet.
No. I'm betting that we can get out of the escape room in less than 5 minutes. I believe in you guys.
But
we're
I'm
a good
confused.
Team.
If we get out of
betting
the
against you.
Escape room in less than 5 minutes, who gets the Snickers bars if we're a team?
We all do. I have 5. One for
are
each
you gonna
of us.
Are you going to slowly eat Snickers 3. Until we get out? You eat the ones we don't earn?
No. The secret is that Skylar is going to eat the Snicker bars while we're in the room.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
In that scenario, you finish with 20% of the time left, you have to eat 1/5 of the Snickers bar?
Okay,
yeah. You pass it around?
I actually have 8 large Snicker bars, so don't worry about how many Snicker bars everyone gets.
Every time you
I
check your pockets, you just find more Snicker bars.
This number keeps growing. First it was 3, then it was 5, now it's 7.
Well, I don't want to tell you how much I have.
I think Skylar is offering to be an hourglass, except instead of sand going through an hourglass, it's Snickers going into Skylar.
That's very good.
It's a metaphor.
But yeah, let's get your hair done first.
Yeah.
And just as you say that, you hear a couple of voices from behind you, and one of them just starts making dog noises. You hear him just like sniff really loudly. And then the other one goes, "Awoo! Oh, are you scared, Caleb? Are you like a little dog who's afraid?" And you turn to see Barney, Lawrence, and Violet, who are all howling with laughter.
Caleb's gonna walk towards them semi-menacingly with the intent to get within range of a, I don't know, punching another student.
Skylar's gonna be really close to Caleb's shoulders and say, "He's not a dog, he's a wizard."
That's the dumbest thing you just said.
Well, that was just rude.
Still smarter than anything you've said. Come on, gang. Let's get out of here.
"You're just jealous," Skylar calls over their shoulder.
"Yeah, let's leave these Gryffindorks behind."
Barney takes his wand out and points it at you, Caleb.
I'm going to just keep walking.
Freya takes her wand out.
Yeah, Leo takes his wand out.
Skylar's going to stand in the way of everyone. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Actually, no, go for it. I stand aside.
Allison takes her wand out and she's ready to cast Protego.
Barney says, "What? You need five of you to fight one of me?"
"No, I never said I was going to fight you. I'm just protecting my friend."
Protecting. Right, right, right. That's why you're a bunch of scared little girls.
Girls,
why don't
you
get out of this? Like, seriously. What is your goal? What is your aim?
Yeah, where do we go from here? You've teased us. Now what?
Now I get to laugh at you.
Okay.
While you run away with your tails between your legs.
And vent frustration about your sorry home life, probably. You know, why does anyone bully
anyone?
Will
it make you feel better if we ran?
Stop picking on the Gryffindors, even if they brought it on themselves. Let's go.
Expelliarmus.
Protego.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Yeah. Lawrence pulled out his wand and cast Expelliarmus at Leo.
Oh.
So why don't we roll competing magic?
All right.
Lauren?
I wasn't at all trying to find the spell list and remember what Protego was called. It's called Protego. I should have thought of that.
It's just called Protego.
It's literally called Protecto, basically.
So Lawrence rolled an 11.
That is a 7 plus magic, which is 2. So that would be a 9 plus, I want to say Protego is a first year spell.
It's
so I get
not.
A 2
it's
plus
like a
bonus
third
on that.
Year.
Makes it 11 to tie.
Protego is a fourth year spell, though.
Okay, yeah. So I.
So you actually get minus
I
one.
I actually get a minus one. Okay, so it was 7 on the die plus my magic is 2. So that's a 9 minus 1, and that's an 8.
Okay, yeah, so you don't cast Protego in time. And Leo, your wand flies from your hand, and Lawrence snatches it out of the air and is now holding two wands.
"It's okay, I always bring a spare one." No, I'm just kidding, he doesn't.
Wizard duel!
No, you say that, but then you just pull out another form and you're like, oh.
Damn it.
Freya is going to cast a Verte Statum on...
Oh, what does that do?
It literally yeets the person. It makes them
you're
fly.
You're casting Yeet.
I'm
okay.
casting Yeet. Yeah. I'm finally
okay,
doing
go
it.
Roll magic.
So that's an 8 plus 2. That's a 10. Plus a Verte Statum is in my spell bank. Plus it's plus
is.
1 because it's a second year spell. So it
okay,
adds a 12.
So yeah, you just completely... fully succeed. How, like, describe, like, how does this happen? Like, is he, like, when you yeet him, is he going, like, far? Like, what are you trying to do?
I'm just trying to get him out of the picture, so I'm just trying to, like, push him back into, like, a snowbank. I'm assuming it's snowing, but maybe it's not.
It's only October.
It's only
31st,
October. Okay.
So, no, I think you push him, like, into a tree, actually.
Okay,
a
I push
of
him
leaves.
Into a tree.
Falls to the ground. Oh,
crunchy
yeah, no,
leaves.
Yeah, you push him into a big pile of leaves, and okay. He lands in a big fluffy pile of leaves, and is not injured anywhere.
Yeah, because I didn't want to like hurt him. I just want to get him out of the way.
Oh, we're practicing magic on the Gryffindors.
They're practicing it on us. So
wait, we gotta get Leo's wand back. Osseo, Leo's wand.
Wait, you're doing what now?
Can I just summon Leo's.
You're casting Osseo.
Yeah.
I always get the impression that like wands have special properties. Like, I don't know that you can, if someone has got hold of a wand, right? Like in the Deathly Hallows, there's all kinds of like, and there's wand rules. I feel like one of those wand rules is like, if someone's got a wand, you have to use the special wand attack spell, which is Expelliarmus. Like, you can't just...
Yeah, but those rules are never consistently enforced.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Okay.
JKRO's system is trash.
And we make our own rules, so Kevin, it's up to you.
Okay. So here's what I'm going to say. You can cast that spell, but at the same time, Violet is going to take her wand out and...
Not be a dingus, hopefully.
No, be a dingus.
Violet is also going to cast a spell at the same time. So, yeah, no, go for it. Why don't you roll magic?
So that was a 6 on the die plus 2 magic. And then it's a second year spell. So I get 1 point for that. 9.
So mixed success. So I'm going to say the spell is different than what you were expecting. It goes flying way over your head, sails, and then lands in a bush nearby. And someone or something is alerted to the casting of the spell, which I will reveal in a moment, because first we're going to resolve Violet's spell. So she cast Levy Corpus, and she cast it on Skylar.
What? I was just standing there. I wasn't doing anything.
Who gets their ankle yanked and pulled into the air and is now hanging upside down, aww, suspended man. In the air, unable to move.
Well, this is good for my back. It's fine.
Yeah, and so as that all happens, you hear a sort of deep, growly, gravelly voice. Can you just leave them alone? And the three Griffin bros all turn to see a shaggy, very hairy 7th-year student who Caleb, you recognize to be Teddy. And he says, just get out of here. Like, can you not? And Violet says, ugh, another one of you freaks. Come on, let's just go. And the three of them sprint off and head towards Hogsmeade.
Wait, with Leo's wand?
No, Leo's wand flew into a bush behind Allison.
Oh, Leo immediately ran to go grab that.
What happens to Skylar? Do they just drop, or?
As you're all pondering that very question, Teddy turns, flicks his wand, and then Skylar falls onto the ground in a heap.
Oof.
We had that handled, Teddy. We could have taken those Gryffindors.
Actually, thanks. I don't know. They were bothering us, and now they're not.
Yeah, but they're just going to bother us again later. If we had shown them how strong we were, they wouldn't mess with us.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about all of that. They're pretty persistent.
Hi.
Yeah, they've got a job.
Who? Wait, I haven't met you. Who are you? I'm Skylar.
Oh, right. Sorry. And he walks over to you, Skylar, and lifts you up to your feet as you're still sitting there.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. I'm Teddy. I'm a Gryffindor. I go here. I've seen you guys around.
Skylar just has a face of awe as they look up into their eyes.
Oh no, he's Cedric Diggory.
He's ruggedly handsome.
Hi.
Whereas I would describe Cedric Diggory as kind of a pretty boy.
Hey.
Yeah, no, so I know. I mean, I know those guys, they keep bothering you. I'm sorry about that, Caleb. They're like that, you know?
Some adults put them up to it.
Yeah, it's Violet's dad. He has something against us being friends.
Look, I don't think they're going to leave you alone, so... I have something for you. And he reaches into his back pocket and he pulls out this big piece of parchment that's folded up into many different corners.
Stop.
And he hands it to you, Caleb. This is this is useful. It might help you, you know, if you need to avoid them for whatever reason. It's like a map. I've had it for like a few years now, and I figure I don't really need it anymore. I'm probably going to be gone from this place pretty soon, so I want you to have it.
Caleb looks at the map very suspiciously. And what do you want from us?
Oh, here, I got a Snickers. Skylar pulls out a large Snicker from their pocket and hands it to Teddy.
He holds his hands up and he says, "Oh no, I don't do candy."
Oh, that's okay.
But Allison just leans closer to get a look at the map.
I start eating the Snicker.
It's blank?
Yeah, and Teddy takes out his wand, taps it twice on the parchment, and says, "I solemnly swear that I am up to no good." And then you see a map appear on the parchment that is of Hogwarts and its grounds. There's little footprints moving around all over the map with tags that say the person's name.
Allison's going to kind of like try to find the secret room. Is it on the map?
It is not.
This is Allison's wizard.
Gonna, like, tap it and be like, the secret room's not on the map. And then look at Teddy.
Yeah, I mean, it's a secret.
I don't know what are you talking, the secret room? What secret
There's
room?
There's probably hundreds of secret rooms at Hogwarts.
Yeah, well, so anyway, you know, and he takes his wand out, taps it and says, mischief managed. And then the map disappears and he says,
that's cool.
Yeah, so that's kind of how the map works. It's pretty secret. So don't like tell anybody about it. And yeah, I don't just try to stay safe, okay?
Thanks. This seems really cool.
Thank you. Yeah.
Caleb tucks the map away.
All right, let's go explore the town.
Hogsmeade.
Right, yeah, you kids have fun. I'll catch you later.
Oh, you don't want to come?
Oh, no, I'm good. I've got some stuff to do up in the castle anyway. Don't worry about it.
Teddy, you know, maybe there is something I can do for you. Frey and I, we've been working on some variant potions for that thing. I'll catch you back at the castle.
Yeah, sure. Come find me whenever you need. You always know where I am now. For it really, though, it does do that. So,
wow.
Skylar jumps in place and says, oh, in case you hear that I'm related to Derry Garfighter, whatever, Guy Rang from Ministry, I don't agree with what he thinks. I think everyone should be able to come to Hogwarts and learn to be a wizard.
Now, Derry Garfighter is his brother.
Same with me. I ignore what my father says too.
Yeah, no, it's cool. I know you guys are cool.
Yes, he thinks we're cool.
Man, they really made better Gryffindors back in the day.
And he kind of just, as he's walking away, he kind of just has like a peace sign held up in the air.
Wait, is this the only one of these maps?
It seems pretty unique.
If this is not the only map, then people have been watching us go to the bathroom this whole time.
Well, at least about. Teddy.
Yeah, but he's cool.
I don't know if that's what I get from this map, guys.
Isn't he? I mean, it's not like a camera. He just knows you're standing there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I know who's in the bathroom right now.
No, you don't. I'm
Why
not
does
letting
that
you
matter?
See. Let's go.
Yeah, come on.
Okay, I don't want
to. All right, fade to black.
So, friends, I kind of think I might want to cut my hair.
Do you want to dye it, too?
I also want to stop by the owl post anytime today.
Okay. I mean, I think it's going to take a little bit of time to cut my hair, but, like, I don't know. Freya, did you want to go? We could get them cut together?
Sure. Well, I kind of want them to look at my hair, so I tried enchanting it over the summer to be blue, and it ended up this, like, silvery blue.
That seems cool, and though.
I do it like awesome. It. I just don't know what I did wrong.
Okay.
Your inner Ravenclaw came out.
Yeah. Well, I wanted
Ravenclaw.
It to be blue.
We have
I didn't
the
want
wings.
It to be silvery blue. But
I hear ya.
I guess if you wanted me to dye your hair, I could try the enchantment on you as well.
I don't know that I want that. I kind of like my hair color. I just kind of want it shorter.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can't cut hair, so I can't help you there.
Okay. Well, I heard there was a place down the street called Reservoir.
Okay. Yeah, we can go.
Cool. Yeah. Anyone else want to join?
I mean, we should stay together. That way the Gryffindors can't outnumber us or anything.
Good plan. You can, like, stake out the door.
Numbers.
Should we have secret hand signs?
Yeah. Caleb takes his hands, crosses them over, interlinks the thumbs so the fingers become wings, and says, we have the wings.
Skylar does actually this, excellent. But makes it look like an actual bird. Gaga!
No fair. I can't do that.
Alrighty. Okay, let's go.
Life is not fair, Leo.
Allison leads the pack. No, leads the murder? What is a murder?
We could be a pack.
Yeah, if we're crows, we're
murderers. No, Allison doesn't lead the murder. That's a whole... We don't want
wait,
to
wait. Are you asking like what are the ravens?
What is a pack of ravens called?
You're not, but it's not ravens, it's eagles.
It is eagles.
It's just a bad name.
What's a pack of eagles called?
Raven eagles. There is never a pack
flock,
of raven
probably.
Eagles.
It's probably
I think eagles are
it's
relatively solo creatures.
A soar of eagles.
A soar of eagles is delightful.
Or a Allison convocation, but I like soar better.
Allison's just going to lead the pack down the road. The convocation of eagles.
Okay, right next door to Dervish and Bangs is this big, very ornate, very modern-looking building. And it's got a sign that just says Reservoir, all lowercase with a period at the end of it, in black letters. The windows of this building are all fogged up, so you can't actually see anything inside when you try to look through the glass.
Want me to stake it out? Skylar doesn't even listen to you answer, rolls on the ground, and then pushes the door and disappears inside.
Allison just stands there like, what the heck am I supposed to do with that? But it's kind of used to Skylar's antics, so it's like, yeah, that tracks.
The door pushes open. It's good. It's a hair place.
Well, hold on a sec, though.
Oh, okay.
It's not so good.
I was right! Ha-ha!
So, Skylar, when you enter...
Yeah, do I roll quick and quiet?
You can roll quick and quiet if you want to. Yes.
Rolled eight. Into the door.
Do whatever we want. It's
okay,
a fantasy
do you want
world.
Quick or quiet?
I want quiet.
Yeah, okay, so... Yeah. You do like a Mission Impossible.
Yeah, I'm crawling on the floor behind the counter.
Yeah, you're crawling on hands and knees, and you like shimmy through the door as close to it as you can get because there's like a little bell on the inside that will ring if the door opens too much.
A trap.
But you like see that and stop yourself and just like wiggle through.
Like a laser.
like a laser, exactly. And so as you stand in this room, crouching like solid snake. It is not what you would traditionally think of as a barbershop or a salon. This is a forest.
My suspicions were correct.
It's like this very deciduous environment. It's dark out, and you hear some voices quietly whispering through the wood.
Wait, so is there no like counter?
No, there's no counter. Okay.
This is just inside a building.
Yeah,
there's
I'm
a forest
sneak
inside a building.
Towards the voices. Yes. And I'm going to say to myself, to inspire myself to not be scared, shivers begone, quivers depart, may I now be brave of heart and crawl towards the sounds.
Did you just come up with that?
As Skylar is trying to sneak, I think Leo opens the door loudly and says, oh, this is so cool.
God dang it, Leo.
yeah, and so you hear that, those voices stop.
I run out.
And then you're just running away.
Yeah, man, they can't see me. I'm a spy.
Have I made a huge mistake?
When I see Allison, I say, it's a forest. Definitely a trap. I'll stake out around the house. And I start doing rounds around the house.
Caleb does the hand sign.
Oh, yeah, I do the hand signs. I'm doing them all over. They're all over your face.
Allison is just confused, standing there, shocked.
And so Leo, who's still standing inside this forest, gets a tap on his shoulder, and as he turns around, he sees a forest nymph, about 4 feet tall, with a human torso and face, and the legs of what looked like a goat. And she says, darling, do they not want a haircut?
Oh, you saw that, huh?
Yeah, I've been watching. This is my store. I watch it all the time. The forest sees everything.
This is a store?
What do you think you are?
It's a forest. All right.
This is Reservoir.
I see that. Okay.
Are you here for pleasantries or do you want to fix that ruined little mop that you call a head?
Ooh.
Okay, well, rude. I mean, now I'm self-conscious, so yeah, sure.
Okay, darling. Please come with me.
Liz she just goes off to get a haircut now, I guess.
Walks behind you and just starts pushing you deeper into the forest. And she says, oh, please help me, at a tree. And the tree just like forms this barber chair. And
cool.
She says, please, come on, sit.
Did my friends leave? I think they were the ones who actually wanted to. Okay.
Allison is going to step in and sees you getting like
Freya is
sitting
also
on a
in.
Tree, getting attacked, pulled into the tree.
No, not getting pulled into the tree. There's just a chair now.
The chair growing out of tree.
Made of tree flesh.
Yes. I actually think as soon as that happens, Leo's like, all right, this is awesome. And it like relaxes in the chair.
Yeah. And as soon as you do that, like a smaller tree on the side comes from the other direction and like makes like a little bowl for your feet with warm bubbling water.
Wait, this is going to be pretty, this is extravagant. How much does this cost?
Oh, don't worry about it, darling. Let's fix this.
I'm worried about it.
And she takes out a pair of scissors and just starts running her hand through the hair on your head. And she says, oh, I see. You have never really experienced a proper haircut before. What would you like me to do with all of this?
Well, make it maybe a little shorter than it is.
Don't answer that question. You don't know what you're talking about. I understand. And she just starts going absolutely like bananas on your head. And like there's a flurry of movement and like a cloud appears over your head. And then
it's like Edward Scissorhands.
She's exactly like Edward Scissorhands. Oh, and then God. She stands back. The dust settles. And Leo, you look like you got you look like Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh my God.
She holds up a mirror to you and she says, ah, what do you think? What do you think?
Whoa. I mean, I don't know. And then Leo's like, hang on. And he like messes it up a little bit. And he's, all right, perfect. And he ruined it.
visibly like wretches. Says, this is only so much that I can do.
I honestly thought you were going to say after the dust cleared, it looked exactly the same. And they're like, that'll be 20 galleons.
Your little friends came too. Now, who's next?
Allison sort of like tentatively raises a finger and sort of just like plays with her long reddish curly hair.
Right. Come. Get up. And she pushes Leo off of the chair.
Oh, thump.
Sorry.
And she says, come on, sit. Please sit.
I sit down.
Ah, okay. Oh, ooh, this is very pretty hair. What would you like me to do with it?
Can you cut it all off?
What do you
like,
mean?
You know, one of those, the shortcuts with the really short, you know, not touching my ears.
Not touching your ears. So you want the George Clooney?
Yeah, maybe, or maybe like Aragorn.
I don't know who that is.
I don't know who George Clooney is.
Wait, you know who Aragorn is?
Hold a moment. And she just takes out a magazine. You know, like a 90s barbershop that's the pictures of the celebrities. And she says, oh, yes, you could do one just like that. Oh, if you're feeling particularly feisty. I have the Travis Barker. If you want to look like a drummer.
What does a drummer look like?
No.
Exactly?
Oh, he looks like this.
How about Chris Hemsworth?
Okay, so you want to leave a little bit of length.
Yeah, on top maybe, or the kid. No, I don't know.
I'm sorry, you can only afford the Liam Hemsworth.
Mark Ruffalo.
Ah,
yes. Ah, the kitten. Yes. Okay, I think I know exactly what you want. And does
Emma
not
Watson,
wait for you to respond.
But not the long
immediately
hair.
Just starts mowing your hair off of your head. And similarly, there's a big Edward Scissorhands moment. The cloud of smoke appears, it dissipates, and then you look exactly like Chris Hemsworth from the third Thor movie.
Wait, is that the one where he's chubby and drunk?
No, that's Avengers. That's from the second Avengers.
Allison is a little nervous when she sees all the hair flying everywhere and like big giant curls, but then kind of like puts a hand up and feels it, and it feels really nice.
She brings a mirror up to your head, and it looks dashing. It is fly. This is a great haircut. Wunderbar. Okay. Anyone else that can help out today?
No, we're just with them.
Freya?
Oh no, I did not go back in that house.
Alrighty, Allison is gonna look at Freya and be like, Freya, didn't you wanna dye your hair, cut it, something?
Freya like looks at the pile of hair on the floor. I don't actually wanna cut it, and I actually think that this color is growing on me, so I think I'm
good. It is your hair.
I could help you very, very much.
Well, I tried to enchant this to look blue, and it came out.
Ah, yes, I see where you went wrong. Silver blue. You didn't do it blue.
Well, I thought I did, though.
Okay, well, let me try something. She claps her hands together and pulls them apart, and a shower of, like, shooting stars expand outward onto your head. And then there's a big cloud of smoke, and then poof, it disappears, and your hair is now bright blue.
Whoa. That's incredible.
Yeah, that's super cool. It.
Thank you.
Now, how will y'all be paying me today?
All right, so cutting the hair takes a little extra time, so I'm going to go to the post, run there real fast.
Okay, so you're going to the Owl Post?
Yep.
Okay, it's right down the street, so it's only like three doors down. You make your way in. It's actually like very empty in this room. It's this big high ceiling, and there's a big desk with a man in a formal-looking outfit standing there.
Hello, fellow magic user. I would like to write a letter.
Yeah, sure. We offer very various different rates, largely based on the speed of the owl.
I have no money.
Then I will see you later.
Dang it.
And he points at the door.
Can I pretend I have money?
You can. I mean, you did already tell him that you have no money.
Just look at him with big eyes.
But I thought my birth father didn't exist, and I just found out he did. And apparently he's running for minister and he doesn't know I exist, or that I mean of an alive. And I was hoping I could contact him so he would know that I exist. Big eyes.
Why don't you roll convince?
My convince is minus two. Oh, but luckily I rolled two sixes. My heart's minus two. I rolled a 10.
Okay, so with a 10, the man who so far has had his hands folded and has been looking very formal bursts into tears and he just says, I never knew my father.
Oh no.
You can, I'll let it slide. We'll put you in one of the economy.
Thank you.
Options.
Thanks.
Okay.
I grab the parchment and run to the smaller desk. Dear Dairy Garf Lighter, my name is Skylar, and it has come to my attention that you are my birth father. I heard that your campaign is based on family and farms. I am writing to you to see if that is indeed true and that you hold family on a high pedestal. I attend Hogwarts, Skylar Ashline.
The Three Broomsticks, as you enter, is packed with other Hogwarts students who are all joking, laughing, and drinking butterbeer, because I guess in this universe there is kid beer, and they're allowed to drink it unsupervised.
Hey, it's super diluted.
As you squeeze your way through the crowd, you do manage to actually find a table in the very back. And as you sit down, you notice a group of 5th and 6th year Hufflepuff girls who are all hands on face, elbows on table, swooning and staring at an extremely handsome barman who gives them a toothy smile and winks after he serves them and walks away.
I'll go ahead and get the first round for everyone.
Oh, thanks, Freya.
Thanks, Freya.
While we're waiting for Freya to come back, Caleb's going to take out the Marauder's map.
Yeah. What can you see here?
Yeah, Leo scooches in because he's curious.
Yeah, so as you spread the Marauder's map out on the table and reveal its secrets.
I solemnly swear I'm up to no good.
You see the very complex, winding, twisting corridors of Hogwarts. And because most of the upperclassmen are all in Hogsmeade, the castle is actually fairly empty. There is a couple of students that you see. First and second years in the Ravenclaw Tower as you look around. You manage to find Mean Old Galway, and it actually says that on the map, Mean Old Galway.
Oh.
Hey, what? Map. Hello? I tap on the map.
I don't think that's how it works,
Excuse
Skylar.
Me. This person here, and I point at Mean Old Galloway, their name is actually Katie Galloway. So you can correct that.
And when you say that, the map writes the word sorry in script. And then with a snap, Miel Galway's name now instead just says Katie Galway.
Whoa. Sweet.
Oh, that's awesome. Cool.
Wait, can we see any of Hogsmeade?
So looking around at the map, it seems like for the most part, this map covers Hogwarts and the grounds surrounding Hogwarts. You do see in the far right corner at the very edge of the map, a little bit of what looks like the edges of Hogsmeade, including just a little bit of a building that, as you look at it, you think probably is in the area of the Shrieking Shack.
We don't see Lawrence, Barnaby, and Violet, do we?
Ooh, do you think we can change their names too?
That's what I was thinking. The Griffin Bros.
We don't see ourselves, right? Because I was going to convince the map that my last name is cool, so that it said Leo is cool.
Skyla's looking for Professor Fussell.
So when you look over at the headmaster's office, it does appear to be empty. Who asked first? One of you should roll notice something.
I will.
Yeah, Skylar, why don't you roll notice something?
Do I roll for that?
Yeah.
Oh, it's only a 5. I fail. Also, I level up.
It seems like you just can't find Fussell on the map. You're not sure where he is.
That's weird. Professor Fussell doesn't seem to be in the school.
There's no, like, search function.
I wish you do that more often.
There's no search function.
Control F, Marauder's map.
Ooh, yeah.
Well, it can talk back to us. Map. Can we ask it questions?
I tap on the map, yeah. Locate Professor Fussell.
And it's like, nah, dog.
And yeah, so a portion of the map clears, and you see writing start to appear on the map itself. And it says, Messrs. Mooney, Wormtail, Padfoot, and Prongs would kindly request that you please stop prodding us.
I apologize, and I caress the paper where I tapped it.
Mooney would like to say that while he is grateful of your expression of regret, he would please ask that you continue to not caress the map. And Padfoot would like to agree with Moody and also add that while the caress was surprising, it wasn't particularly welcome.
One of them like, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, Messer Wormtail is fine with it.
Weird. Wow.
This is like such an intelligent piece of magic. This is treasure, Caleb.
Are there people in there?
Where does it keep its brain? No, it doesn't have one.
Hello? Tap twice if you need help. If you're trapped in a map.
Prongs would like to say that they're Gucci.
Yeah. All right, yeah.
All right, I think it's best we put this away. I'm going to start folding it up. There was definitely some mischief managed.
Yeah, and with that, the map wipes clean and is now just a boring old piece of parchment.
So I do kind of want to ask you all, that map seemed to just be talking to us.
Mm-hmm.
None of you take that as weird?
Oh, definitely. I think there are people stuck in it. We should ask Teddy about it.
It just reminds me a lot of last year.
Well, as soon as the map asks us to sacrifice someone, we'll stop using it.
I guess that's fair.
We can't be racist against every sentient magic item. There's gotta be loads.
I mean, at least it didn't scream at us like a howler.
Yeah. I don't know. It seems to be very powerful magic, and that's...
Skylar leans over the table and bats like butterfly eyelashes at Allison. No. Yeah, but I liked your howler.
I'm glad you liked my howler Christmas card.
Leo actually thinks about what Freya's saying and is like, maybe you guys should handle the map and I'll stay away from it.
Leo, you've learned from last year, right? You're not gonna make those same mistakes. Like, this could be a good experience for you, where you learn how to set bounds with magic items.
Maybe you're right, and I think I learned, but I'm the same person I was when I made those decisions, and I don't trust myself anymore, so we'll see.
If you can at least trust us, you know, we're good when we all work together.
Yeah.
That's a good point. You're right. Okay. Thanks, Caleb.
All right. I know you wanted to bet Snickers,
but mm-hmm. how about we put actual money on the table
yeah,
and bet the thing for is, how long
I have
this
no
thing
money.
Is going to take us. That's fine. That's fine. I'll cover you.
Okay. Yes, but, then, yes.
Who's taking the other side of this bet?
I think
know.
It doesn't make Any sense takers. To bet on how long, because then someone can just slow us down. Instead, maybe we should bet who figures it out.
Ooh, yeah.
Ooh, okay. I am going to put my money on Caleb. I think
I was
going to
put my money on you, Freya.
Oh, no.
I'm putting my money on Allison.
Oh, okay. Gosh, don't put it on me. I can never get the door riddles right.
Yeah, but you're clever.
Maybe, as long as I don't involve, you know, history of magic questions or philosophy.
Okay, yeah. I'm going to put 5 sickles on Caleb. That's what I'm going to do. And she takes out sickles from her bags and smacks them on the table.
Put down 5 for me as well.
Sure. And she takes another 5 out and puts that next to it.
Allison rummages through her pockets and finds like 2 sickles and a Snickers bar and is like, yeah, that puts down.
And Leo's like, and I wagered this chocolate frog card of Ron Weasley. That I found
Everyone
somewhere.
Everyone has that card though, Leo.
I don't have any money on me.
Caleb mysteriously does have money. It's from all the theft.
Do you have 5 galleons worth?
I think I have 2 galleons. They were inside the cloak I stole.
Galleons? I was talking sickles.
Do yeah. we know you stole that cloak?
I think there's a conversion rate somewhere out there.
I mean, yeah, that's fine. You can put a galleon in and I'll probably get change for it later.
That's crime house money.
17 sickles.
Yep, and 29 nuts to a sickle.
Because but, that's a logical money system.
Now, yeah. you might be asking, that seems like nonsense, to which I would say,
what about
yep.
the imperial system? Is it any worse than that?
I guess I want to keep the betting going. Leo, who are you betting on?
Mostly anybody but me.
Yeah, can you put a spread on 4 players?
Can I buy a short against myself?
I mean, I guess you can bet against yourself.
No,
Allison
I'm not gonna
would
do like
that.
To short Leo.
I was joking.
No, joke's gonna be on you guys when you lose hard because Leo's the one that solves the puzzle. And saves the
but then no one wins. What do we do with the money?
I guess I'll just give it to Leo.
Yeah.
No, I'm pretty sure. Hold on. I'm pretty sure. Like, stop the podcast for a second. I'm pretty sure what's actually happening here is that Freya's becoming a bookie.
It's very Ravenclaw.
And is skimming off the top.
Oh
very Slytherclaw.
For sure.
I don't need
for sure.
The money, though.
Funding everyone's addictions.
I don't need the money, though.
Said no rich person ever.
I think I'm going to bet on Caleb.
The group makes merriment, has fun, has maybe one more butterbeer than they should have, and eventually leaves and heads for the Shrieking Shack. And so as you head to the edge of town towards the Shrieking Shack, it's actually like a lot creepier than you thought it was going to be. And as you make your way inside into the foyer of the Shrieking Shack, you're surprised because the outside of the building looked dilapidated, like the thing could fall down at any moment, but the inside is actually like seems like it's surprisingly well kept. There's hardwood floors, spotless carpets, there's these gothic sconces that are all along the walls with candles. There's a portrait on the side of the room as you walk in of this like posh, well-to-do family that's smiling at each other really smugly, and they're whispering to one another, kind of like taking you in as you walk into the room. In the middle of this room, though, is the biggest thing, which is there's this massive grand staircase with this big red flowy carpet that comes down. And as you're all looking around, taking this in, a man starts walking down the staircase wearing a posh velvet suit. And he says,
good afternoon, everyone. Are you all ready to be terrified? Beyond your wildest imagination?
I'm ready for puzzles.
Yeah, I thought this was an escape room.
My name is Gerald McDonald.
Oh, no.
And welcome to my
terrifying escape room.
Yeah, there's got to be something to escape from, right?
Yeah, happy Halloween.
This makes sense.
Yeah. This is such good training. We're ready.
Now, you all filled out the waivers.
What?
I'm sorry, what?
Anything that you have to write a waiver for is worth doing.
I don't think...
Oh, I'm sure it's fine. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
It's more of a guideline than a rule anyway. Look, we have spooks, we have scares, we have terrors beyond your wildest imaginations. And you'll be telling all of your friends to come. If you make it out alive. And he snaps his fingers, and an hourglass appears embedded in the wall at the top of the stairs. And sand starts to fall down it.
Slowly. It's starting.
Wait,
it's starting.
This is part of it? Where? What?
I run straight for the door we came from through.
I immediately start flipping over furniture to look for clues.
this is.
And Gerald McDonald says, "You all have 60 minutes to come." And in the middle of that sentence, the lights in this room suddenly cut, and you just hear.
Can I see a copy of that waiver?